calendars up in the U.S. Also called the Shenanigans Podcast. Always play that reggae too, in case you didn't know. Hey, this is how we do, boo.
Thank you for tuning in to this long overdue episode of the Shenanigans Podcast, the podcast that stops putting out episodes for a couple of months, every couple of months. And I'm sorry for that. Like, life happens and I do this by myself, and I have no, like, I have to do all the editing and all the, it's literally just me at home. So, I wasn't actually planning to put out an episode this week. Just, I haven't had the time. Things have been hectic. However, the lovely gentleman over at the Blue Hawaii podcast really motivated me to put out another episode, because, I mean, really, what's the point of them plugging my podcast if I don't have any new episodes? Which is cool, because I really do need to address the Being Micronesian hashtag. Amongst other things, I need to do my own mental health check-in, which kind of relates to the Being Micronesian hashtag. And I really do need to put out a new episode, because I just do. Oh, I should also point out that, like, this is the first episode I'm doing entirely on the iPad, so my production quality may not be as great, because I'm still kind of figuring out how to do all this. So, thank you for tuning in, and on with the show. So I guess we'll start out with talking about the thing that, like, people are talking about, the thing that's exciting, the hashtag Being Micronesian. And let me explain how this started. Last month, my other half was out at work and I was home alone. It was a Friday night. I think I had kind of a rough day, and so I was kind of in a mood, and I had, like, all these things that I needed to do, and I decided I'm gonna stay in bed and I'm gonna look through social media. I'm just gonna spend time on the internet being stupid, I don't wanna, like, process anything that's been going on. I just let me chunk. So I was on Facebook and just kind of scrolling through my feed, and a post pops up from Stolen Stuff Hawaii. Now, for those who don't know, Stolen Stuff Hawaii, it's a pretty big Facebook group, and its purpose, as far as I know, is what it says, Stolen Stuff Why people report things. It's just a lot of people with a lot of really varying points of views and opinions on things, and it's not exactly the most Micronesian friendly forum on Facebook. So a lot of times I try not to just kind of not read things. And yes, the obvious thing would be to, like, not be in the group, but it's actually been a useful group for me. Like, I mean, I sympathize with people whose pets go missing. I sympathize with people who are victims of crime. It's not necessarily a Micronesian friendly forum. So as it happens, the post was about an incident with a Micronesian. One of the first things I saw was, like, the word cockroaches, and then it was immediately followed by, like, fuck those cockroaches, and then there were calls for, like, hunting and calls for a purge and, you know, ethnic cleansing type things. And that took me from being in my mood to being in a mood. So I took screenshots, and then I decided I was going to post it, because I was venting. Twitter's where I go to vent. I mean, that's just Twitter for, I know a lot of people, like, Twitter's the place where you can go and vent, because you don't have as many relatives on there. And if you do have relatives on there, they're more than likely relatives that you can kind of deal with. So it's you can vent a little more openly with a little bit less worry. So that's what it was. It was me venting initially just on Twitter. And I redacted the names. Well, I, like, disguise the names so people couldn't really see who was saying these things, but I mean, you could definitely, I left the comments intact. I didn't try to, like, censor anything there, and it got a little bit of, like, response and feedback and stuff. I also posted it on Instagram, and kind of the general opinion there was, like, you know, just put your head down and do what you need to do and spread the love. And, you know, I'm really not a positive vibe sort of person. Like, I'm all for embracing the darkness. Not like that's all there is, but positive vibes to me is sometimes kind of like saying don't acknowledge that life happens and things happen and that you should process these things. So I'm not always all about the positive vibes. So I just took it as what it is, like people being people with their different opinions, and I'm like, cool, that's, you know, it's whatever. So that happened, and then the following week I was still in my mood. My mood got moodier because I saw more posts and more things pertaining to micros this, micros that, cockroaches, like, burden on society, lazy, promiscuous. And I was kind of like, fuck, enough already. Like, it's just that moment of like, what the fuck, stop. And I've gotten a lot of feedback from people, whether it's directly or like subtweet level, where it's like, people are saying things like, you're just being sensitive, you know, all immigrants go through it. Well, fuck. Just because other immigrants went through it doesn't actually make it right. So, being that kind of fed up, and also being that I'm a digital hoarder of sorts. No, not even of sorts. I'm a digital hoarder. I had like 3 years worth of screenshots. And I don't really know that there was a specific reason that I was keeping these screenshots. It was just, I would see something, it would piss me off, and I would throw it in the Dropbox, because that's why I pay for Dropbox, is just basically storage for all the things I digitally hoard, which is why I have transparency.pw. It's an archive of modern Palawan history. Check it out. See, shameless plug. I'm still me. But yeah, so being in my mood, I was feeling micro aggressive, if you will. Yeah, I did that. I started posting all the screenshots. I decided I was going to make a whole ass thread out of this thing. And so I did. I made a whole ass thread out of it. And I made this little graphic and I called it the anti-Micronesian thread of shame, because that's what I wanted it to be. I wasn't doing this to start a movement. I wasn't doing this to make a statement. I wasn't doing this to really like do anything besides just vent. But also, I left people's names on there because I never wanted anyone in the greater Micronesian community to look at these posts and be like, this is how all Hawaiians feel about us, or this is how all whatever group feels about us, because that's not what it was about. In fact, that's the whole reason why I did this, is people should be held accountable for what they do and what they say, but in terms of blaming things on an entire ethnic group, stop. Seriously, stop. With a few exceptions, but if you listen to my show, you probably already know how I feel about those things. We'll get into them one day. So yeah, it took me like a day and a half. It was a lot of screenshots, and like every time I'd post one, it would be like something I haven't looked at in a while. And so I would post it and kind of like reflect on it, and just kind of, it's draining to see that kind of shit. And like having to bring it all back and look at it, that was some shit. So I did that thinking like, okay, I vented, people can see it, and you know, people shared it. Like I got interesting feedback, I got good feedback, I got bad feedback, I got feedback, and that's what mattered. People shared it, people talked about it. People talked about it. That was the thing, people talked about it. And then this awesome, amazing person, Anita Hofschneider from Civil Beat, contacted me, and she wanted to write about it. And you know, the way I saw it was like, that's cool, like Civil Beat is probably one of the only publications around here that talks about Micronesian issues and talks about it, for the most part, like we're humans rather than like data points regarding how much we cost. So that was good. I was appreciative. But also I figured this is a Twitter thread of me being kind of petty and me being angry. So, honestly, who's going to really read this after like a couple days? So the article comes out and there's the reaction. There was people talking. There's people contacting me. There was Anita's follow-up, which was really cool. And hopefully you guys got a chance to read that, about why it was important to discuss being Micronesian and Micronesian hate and online Micronesian hate. But then it led to things like our program on Al Jazeera, the stream, which was like mind-blowing, and I still can't believe that that happened. And an article in The Guardian, which was crazy because that was like a giant picture of my face, which was a little bit scary because, I mean, ever since the surgery, it's not a secret, I'm really self-conscious about my face. Like, my face doesn't necessarily look like it used to. It makes me kind of, you know, meh. Not that I was like the cutest thing before, but like, I'm definitely not the cutest thing now. So it's a giant picture of my face. And then there's Al Jazeera, there's The Guardian, there's been Radio New Zealand. I got to be on the Blue Hawaii podcast, which was awesome. And then just different people wanting me to talk about stuff. So I've spoken at HPU, I spoke at LCC and YNI. It was awesome because people were talking about it, even though it's been around for a while and I didn't really understand why people hadn't been talking about it before, but you know, they were talking about it now, so let's just go with that. And that's kind of where it is now. I had an opportunity to speak on the Pacific Islands panel caucus at the Native Hawaiian Conference. Today was the forum about equal opportunity, barriers to equal opportunity for Micronesians in Hawaii. The name is actually Micronesian Immigrants in Hawaii, except they're not immigrants, so that was kind of a like misnomer there. That was today, and that was hosted by, again, the State Advisory Board for the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. So that was cool, although I have thoughts on that, and we'll talk about that later. But yeah, I wanted to clarify that I'm not a spokesperson for, like, anybody other than myself. My opinions are very strictly my own. I haven't really earned the right to be a spokesperson for anyone. There are people who've devoted their lives, devoted their careers to doing advocacy work in the Micronesian community here in Hawaii, and I wasn't one of those people. And so I'll talk about that more in the mental health check-in, but I wanted to clarify that I'm not a spokesperson. I'm not a representative of really anybody. I was in a mood and I posted a thing and the thing just kind of took off. And that's what hashtag being Micronesian is, or that's how it started. I'm grateful for the opportunity and the media buzz because it's an opportunity for me to try to amplify the voices of the people who are actually doing the work. However, I was never one of those people. I mean, there's stuff I talk about, like the trust territories and the compacts, and that's one thing. But I haven't been actively working in the community doing things for people, and so I just wanted it out there that I'm not a spokesperson, I'm not a representative, I'm not a community leader. I'm just kind of a media junkie who was on Twitter having a bad mood night, and my vent session on Twitter kind of took off. So that's what I needed people to know about the being Micronesian hashtag, is that it was never intended to be a movement or a campaign or a revolution or anything huge. It was me venting, and it's important for me that people know that because, again, there are people who've devoted their careers to doing that work. And it's not that I wouldn't do that work. I would love to do that work. But I can't take credit for that kind of thing because I didn't do it. I was just in a mood. So that's what I wanted to say about hashtag being Micronesian.
Real stuff, yeah, this shit that real stuff.
called the Shenanigans Podcast. Always play that reggae too, in case you didn't know. Hey, this is how we do, boo. Helping everybody all around. Listeners, Micronesia, Polynesia, Melanesia. This is how I do it, hit you with the anesthesia. Hope you ready, cause you know we wake you up.
Alright, so mental health check-in. This is actually my personal mental health check-in, and it's I'm just gonna share my mental health. I mentioned it earlier on in the segment about being Micronesian and how I was gonna get into this some more. So one of the concerns that I had when hashtag being Micronesian first took off was that I was afraid people would think I was somehow taking it upon myself to be either a spokesperson or a representative of the Micronesian, greater Micronesian community, which I am not. I'm not even a spokesperson for the Palawan community. I'm not a spokesperson. I'm not a representative. I'm Sha of the Shenanigans Podcast. That's it. But it's something that I stressed out over to the point of tears because I felt like, okay, number one, and this point has been brought up repeatedly, and it's not an inaccurate point, so it's worth mentioning. In terms of Micronesians who get discriminated against, people from FSM and the Marshall Islands get it far worse than Palawans and Chamorro people. Palawans and Chamorro people tend to kind of pass a lot of the time. I can only speak from my own experience, and I know that from my experience, for the most part, I have always just kind of passed as like ambiguously local. Also because I don't look stereotypically Micronesian. I don't sound stereotypically anything. I mean, more often than not, people are like, wow, you talk like a white girl. And that's sometimes, often actually, kind of offensive too. But code switching is something we'll get into in another program. But one of the things that concerned me, and one of the things that I've struggled with a lot, is the fact that I have a lot of times questioned whether this is an issue I should even be discussing personally, because I, for the most part, don't get the direct discrimination that others do have. I am passing. I get the discrimination in terms of hearing people talk about it, seeing people do it to others, hear about people doing it to others, with the exception of yesterday when I was dealing with a client, because I am a service provider, who was applying for public benefits, and as a service provider, this is a free service to them. Everything was going great. We were talking. We seemed to get along fine. It was just a regular client call type thing. And as we were discussing the issues and documentation and stuff, this person launched into like a 3-minute rant about Micronesians. And one of the things they said is like, you know, Micronesian people are, all they do is want things for free, and they feel like they're entitled to things, and all they do is like use up public services, and they're lazy, and they're this and that. And for the most part, I haven't faced the hardships that other Micronesians have. And so I felt like maybe I don't necessarily have a place or like the right to discuss this, because it's not necessarily something that I've struggled with to the extent others have. And I think I was texting with my sister about it, and I told her that I almost feel like a Kardashian with cornrows. Like, this is something that's been around for like my entire lifetime, but for some reason I vented about it online, it was written about, and then it took off in a way that made me scared that people would think I was trying to claim it. And that's not what I wanted to do, and that's not the impression I wanted to give. And I especially don't ever want people to see it that way, because that's not what I wanted to do or am trying to do. I was venting and it took off. And so I struggled with it. Like, I struggled really hard with it, because, like, with the stories that people were sharing today, their testimonies, people have been through some really, really unjust shit. And I've been through some shit, but it has nothing to do with my ethnicity and everything to do with the fact that I was just working with some, like, trash people. That's been kind of like my mental health thing through all of being Micronesian, is trying to kind of figure out where I can be in this discussion that isn't like me feeling like I'm usurping something. It doesn't feel like I'm trying to appropriate struggle that's not mine. And while I realize there is a place for my story, there's a place for sharing what it is to pass, I also don't want my story, in the sense that people are sharing the hashtag, I don't want that to be something that overshadows the actual work that's happening, the people who have devoted their careers to the work. And that's something that I like took pretty hard. Like, at one point, I was trying to back out from everything I was doing, just because I didn't know how to handle it. And I still kind of don't know how to handle it, because I don't think anyone could have expected the media to pick up on this. I mean, it's been around forever, but now I'm realizing that a lot of people had no idea either that it existed or that it was to the extent that it is. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to help amplify those voices and these stories and get it out there. But at the same time, I don't ever want to feel like I'm stepping in and trying to speak on something that I have no right to speak on. At the same time, and this is my like thing where I like kind of pick fights with Palawan people. At the same time, I've had discussions that kind of blow my mind in terms of my own community, the Palawan community, the Palawan online community, and the superiority complexes that I come across. Just like, I grew up being told that you strive for humility, though it's something you can't necessarily ever achieve. And I acknowledge that. I realize that. Like, I know I'm not a humble person. And I'm, like, really proud of some of the stuff I've done. And I realize that that's the opposite of humility. And so, like, I know I'm not humble. But the superiority complexes I've come across just in the Palawan community are pretty appalling. And these are things that are not surprising to me. These are things that I've known for, like, as far back as I can remember. But they still blow me away, because I feel like it would be more advantageous to us to work with our fellow Micronesians and then to come across Palauans where, like, we're not Micronesian. And I'm like, yeah, okay, so I've always identified as a Micronesian. I didn't know. Let me go back a little bit. Okay, so I guess the second half to mental health check-in is me kind of giving a brief overview of my life story, which I've been promising people I would give for a while. So we're going to give the first part. I was born and raised in Portland, Oregon. I lived there my whole life up until I was 18. I went to public school for elementary and middle school in North Portland. And then for high school, I went to a posh, predominantly white school up in like the hills area, which was a whole nother story on its own, but that's for another show. So growing up like that, and as a Palawan American, like, and I don't know if other people can relate to this or understand what I mean when I say this. So you were either Palawan or Palawan American. If you were Palawan, you spoke Palawan, you knew Palawan things, you were Palawan. No one questioned it, you were Palawan. If you're Palawan American, you are a ngalgarangabar. You don't know things, you don't know the language, you're culturally ignorant, and people just kind of accept that about you and make fun of you about it behind your back. I was like a Palawan American. which is confusing, and let me explain. Growing up, and this applies to my sister too, but at the time I didn't have one yet, so I'm gonna just say this about me. I, for a majority of my life, until I had a sibling, was possibly the one of the only Palauans born and raised entirely outside of Palau, having never been to Palau ever, like until I was an adult, who grew up speaking Palauan at home. I learned to read and write in Palauan as a kid. And that was a choice my parents made. When I was born, my parents were in their like mid and late 20s. We're just kind of like, well, she's in America. She has television. She's gonna go to school. There's absolutely no reason for us to teach her English. So they taught me Palauan. And I spoke Palauan at home exclusively, and I actually made my way into ESL at one point as a kid. That's English as a second language classes. But it made for kind of a weird social thing growing up in a Palauan American and Palauan community, like our little microcosm, because I wasn't quite like the Palauan American kids, but I wasn't really a Palauan either. So I could eat Palauan food just fine, and I could speak Palauan, and people thought it was novel, and I could understand them when they were talking, so I would laugh at their jokes, and they thought that was cute because I was a little kid. That didn't really necessarily win me points with the Palauan American kids, so I didn't really get to befriend them much after our like toddler years. So I spent a lot of time just kind of hanging out with my mom and dad and my aunts and uncles, and you know, when those are the people that you spend the most time around, those are the people you learn from, those are the people you hear stories from, my knowledge base kind of formed differently. And because there were Palauan kids and just other Palauans, like adults in general, who were like, you're not a real Palauan, and like, you're an American, you don't know anything. I took it really personally. And I took it personally to the point where I would learn anything and everything I could about Palau. I would learn about our family trees as a little kid. And I was really lucky because I have the kind of parents who are very different, where if I have questions about things that pertain to our family tree, to history, to just Palau in general, my parents will answer them. Like, they would humor me. And I wasn't spoiled, but when it came to like access to knowledge, then yeah, I guess I was spoiled. So I developed my initial knowledge base of Palauan things pretty early. I had, have still, uncles who worked for the Ministry of Education, so I had access to like books in Palauan, and I had a grandfather who was kind of my pen pal, and I could write him letters in Palauan, and he would challenge me to do things like write a song in Palauan, even though my ass can't sing, but like I did it. And I guess that's how I started to form my identity, because I was kind of socially awkward anyway, so I had friends in school, but I didn't feel like I was like them. And then I had like Palauan American cousins that I didn't feel like I was like them. But then I had Palauan cousins and I really wasn't necessarily like them either. And that was pretty much the theme through my whole life, was just kind of like, I'm sort of an anomaly everywhere I go. So that's what led to me, when I graduated from high school, moving to Hawaii, and that was in 2001. I got here, and that's when I found out, number one, there's anti-Micronesian hate, but number two, that there was like this whole social hierarchy of Palauans that was different from what I grew up knowing. There was like the kids of the haves and the kids of the have-nots. There's the kids of the metet and the kids of the, like, I don't know, what do you call them? Hutsula. And I definitely wasn't a kid with money, and we weren't metet. So like, I was a broke ass Palauan American kid going to Chaminade, where like the more privileged Palauan kids got to go, at least at the time. And there was like an incident, because I was dating a Palauan. I was like 18. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to date a Palauan. This is so exciting. So I was dating a Palauan, and I was going to school with his cousin, and we were all drunk, and it was Pearl Harbor, like a Palauan party at Pearl Harbor, and it was Independence Day. And so like all of us are drunk, and drunk boyfriend's cousin was like, I don't even know why my cousin dates you, because, like, back home, are you even anything? Like, who are your parents? What do they do? Like, has anyone even heard of you? And then he has another cousin, and the other cousin had asked me, not at the party, but, like, separately later on. She was like, what do you mean you came to Hawaii with, like, no money? And I explained, like, well, I worked in high school, so I came with my, like, pocket money, and then I used my graduation money to buy my ticket to come here for school, because it's not like I'm going to make my parents pay for it. And she was like, so what, like, is your family poor? And I knew my family was not, like, rolling in money, but I don't think I'd ever had anyone really say it to my face like that before. And so that was weird. And just socially, I didn't really click well into the community, and I didn't handle it well. So I maxed out a credit card and went home to the Pacific Northwest. And that's the story of my formative years. I think around that time also I had a friend who was, like, born and raised in Palau, like, went to Xavier. He's fairly popular and well-liked. He was my friend at the time, and he would tease me mercilessly about the fact that when I do speak Palauan, I have an American accent, which is to be expected because I live in America. So he would tease me mercilessly about it, and so for 2 years I refused to speak Palauan to anyone outside of my immediate family, because I was embarrassed, I was ashamed, I was fluent in Palauan, and I had, like, a fairly good vocabulary, but because even though Palauan was my first language, English was my primary language, I had an American accent when I spoke Palauan, and there's some words that when I say it, like, my tongue just doesn't do what it's supposed to, and after a while it does, but, like, it takes me a while to adjust. And so he would tease me about it, and it got to the point where, like, I just couldn't deal anymore. Like, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, like, I'm fucking thin-skinned. I am too thin-skinned to do the work that I do. I'm too thin-skinned to be ever revealing this much about me, but I don't really care, because, I mean, sometimes you have to share those things so that people who have even thinner skin can know that, you know, it happens. So, yeah, I went through, like, a phase in my late teens, early 20s, where I didn't know how to Palauan, because I believed what people told me, that I wasn't Palauan, and it affected me really deeply, like, my whole life. And that time that I spent in Hawaii, as it turned out, like, I did fine with, like, other Micronesians, which was cool, because I had always considered myself a Micronesian. So I had my Yapis classmate, my Chickies classmates, my classmates from Pohnpei, the random Samoan guy who was always with the Micronesians. It was nice. I felt comfortable. I felt like I didn't question who I was or really even think about, like, where I fit in. I was just there, and it was great. We were all kind of different, but we were all kind of the same. And I didn't have that with the Palauan community, so I was just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to run away now. But that's between that and the anti-Micronesian sentiment, and just kind of not, I guess, not adjusting well to living on an island. I left Hawaii after my first semester, and I kind of never went back to a traditional college setting again, because I couldn't deal. And so that's the first part of, like, the why I'm this way story. And I think it's also kind of an underlying force in, like, why I get really adamant about these things, and why I get so deeply offended by some of the attitudes I've come across in the forums since Being Micronesian came out. I've come across people who keep referring to Micronesians, and I hate this phrase when people say this. I get upset. They're like, Tikal Atrayuns. Okay, Atrayuns literally means people from the islands. The fuck do you think Palau is? We're not even, like, one of the bigger islands. Like, we're a tiny island too. So the fact that the term Atrayuns is used derisively, I take that very personally, and I'm very offended by it. Also, like, just that othering, the fact that we set ourselves apart, like, yes, we did it politically too, but the fact that we hold ourselves separately, like, somehow we're better, is, like, contrary to everything I've ever learned about us as a people. Like, it's contrary to what I was taught about how we view others, how we view ourselves. Like, yes, you can be a proud Palauan without, like, being a xenophobic bigot. I think I posted it on my Instagram, like, you can shine without shitting on other people. Like, that's, you can do that. You don't have to be hateful. You choose to be hateful. And so to see Palauans be like, you know, that's their problem, not our problem. No, it is our problem, because when the statistics are published and they refer to the Kofa communities, they're not distinguishing what side of the Micronesian region we're on. They don't care that we're on the left and who's in the middle and who's on the right and who's up and who's down. No, that's all of us. And when people make these derogatory comments about Micronesians across the board, yeah, you may think you know who they're talking about. Hell, you may know who they're talking about, because they're still grouping us together. They don't care to separate us. And I don't care to separate us either, because this is all of our struggle. And to see so many people hold this superiority complex of like, we're better, we're better, we're better. Okay, no one else in Micronesia has ever assassinated their leaders. Nobody else in Micronesia has, as far as I know, nobody else in Micronesia in recent years has put convicted rapists in office. No one else in Micronesia, as far as I know, has had some of the really bizarre social issues that we've had, like a serving senator, but an incarcerated senator. We hold ourselves up as superior when we're not. And then don't even get me started on the things that I've heard Palauan saying about, like, Southwest Islanders. Like, to me, growing up, these were like my aunts and uncles. I get offended by these things, and I don't know if other people get offended by them or if other people are as bothered by them as I am, but it's one of those things where it's so contrary to what I grew up knowing that, like, the other side of my, like, guilt over hashtag being Micronesian, in that I'm being afraid that I'm appropriating something that's not necessarily mine, is this overwhelming feeling of, like, but these are my people and I have to do this. This is my community. And to see other Palauans make just such derogatory comments about them. Like, it's not them, this is us. So that's my mental health check-in, because my mental health is kind of, it's not a mess. It's just being Micronesian, the hashtag, when it took off, was triggering in ways that I didn't expect, because there were issues that I thought I had resolved years ago that I hadn't thought about that came up. And then there were issues that I didn't ever consider necessarily. And it's just, it's been a trip. Like, it's been a month and it feels like it's been a whole damn year. And I've struggled with it. And I've had, like, awesome breakthrough moments, and I've had some really, like, rough, I'm gonna stay the fuck off social media today moments. And it's definitely been a journey. But it's also, like, forcing me to confront things in our community that, like, sometimes I let people have a pass because I feel like, oh, they don't know any better, or, oh, they've been through so much. And I shouldn't, but I do, because I'm just kind of prone to doing that kind of thing. And if I'm not going to let other people have that pass, I should definitely not let my own people have that pass, because if anything, I feel like we should lead by example. And if we're doing the othering in our own community to each other, and we're doing the othering in the greater Micronesian community to people because they're not from our island, then what's kind of the point? Like, how are we a community, like, at all? How, like, what does that say about our humanity and about our values? And then, yeah. So that's been my mental health check-in. Thank you for tolerating this somewhat emotional, weepy, hilarious, hot mess of a segment, and Yeah, let's go ahead and get ready to wrap this episode up. So, this episode's been a trip. See, this is what happens when I go off script. I like don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really know what I'm talking about. I just kind of rant endlessly. And so I'm sorry that this seemed like a maybe disjointed episode for the people listening. I'm really trying to like get myself to do this consistently. It's hard. I mean, just the editing alone is like an insane amount of work. But also the fact that I feel like my podcast would be so much better if I had people to banter with, and I don't necessarily have people to banter with. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you want to banter with me, you should, you know, let me know. We can schedule something. I know there are quite a few of you who do listen in who have amazing, beautiful, brilliant minds, and I would love to have you guys on the show just to even like banter and talk back and forth and just talk story, but like with a microphone around. I think it's beneficial to hear other points of views besides mine, because different experiences lend different solutions and different ideas, and that's kind of really important. There's a lot of shit going on in Palau, obviously, always, at any given moment, and I really am trying to like get all my shit together so that I can report on that again, but in the meantime, you've gotten like a chunk of my life story and know a little bit more about me and how my brain operates and a little bit more about my value system, so that's good. I don't know if that means I'm gonna gain listeners or lose them, but we'll see. Again, I really do welcome like anyone who's interested in bantering, because I really, really like hearing other people's points of views. And other people should hear your points of views. So yeah, you know how this goes. Please don't drink and drive, don't drink and dial, don't drink and text, don't drink and tweet, don't drink and do anything that you might regret come morning, because come morning, you will regret it. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Shenanigans Podcast. I'll try to be more on script next time, but this might just have to serve as my alternative to therapy for a bit here. Thanks for listening, though. Till next time.